people, listen up. It's a fucking lockdown right now.
Come off it. We're not in a prison drama, are we?
We are in a prison drama. This is the fucking Shawshank Redemption, right? But with more tunneling through shit, no fucking redemption.
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Sheriff, this is no time to panic. This is the perfect time to panic.
It's the end of the world.
I ain't going with you. I'll go with Child.
Hey, fuck you, Parker!
I'm going with you!
Who says I want you going with me?
All right, cut the bullshit!
Because the whole world gone crazy!
Hey! Everybody calm the fuck down. This girl's an open page. Bookmark her, she's so close now. This girl is half his age.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Holmes Movies Recommends. My name is Anders Holmes, and I'm joined by my older brother, Adam, over Skype in the United States of America.
Hey.
Hey, Fonzie. So, last episode, I recommended Paper Moon, directed by Peter Bogdanovich. Adam, what are you going to be recommending us today?
One of my favorite films about music, drugs, and all that goes with it is 24 Hour Party People from 2002, directed by Michael Winterbottom. Which
I really want to watch this movie.
Have you not seen it?
No, I really want to watch it.
Fuck! This is a really good film. How have we never watched this together? It's one of my favorite movies.
I don't know. I remember you guys were watching it many years ago, but I just never really got around to it. I like Michael Winterbottom. I like his style. That's just one of his films I really want to see.
It's terrific. It's about the Manchester music scene in the late 70s, 80s, and early 90s, and it's the main character is Tony Wilson, who is a sort of impresario behind Factory Records, which put out, you know, the albums that were done by people like Joy Division and the Happy Mondays. New Order, of course, and you know, it was a kind of a glorious failure. They started the famous Hacienda nightclub, which was like a huge Manchester institution. But this film is just a sort of capering, funny, like knowing look at that period. It's full of the most, you know, it's just got so many brilliant people in it. You know, you've got Shirley Henderson, you've got Andy Serkis, John Sim, Sean Harris, but then you've got Paddy Considine, and towering over it all, of course, is Steve Coogan playing Tony Wilson, and he's just brilliant because, like in many Michael Winterbottom films, it's not straightforward, like, here's a story and we'll tell it normally. You know, there's a lot of it relies on you know, a lot of so there's some sort of documentary footage, there's some remade incidents that actually happen, there are other bits that are very sort of fanciful and dreamlike, and then there are these sort of you know, he actually says, he quotes John Ford at one point and says, you know, print the legend, you know, where they just sort of show these, they play out these things that may or may not have happened, and then all the while Tony Wilson, the main character, is allowed to turn to us, the audience, and break the fourth wall, which is another sort of Winterbottom thing. So, a motif. So it's such a fun movie, and it really makes you think about what makes a sudden, like, what is it? What are the things that go into a sudden flowering of a, you know, a kind of a cultural moment? And the film is obviously made on a budget, so you don't. There are a lot of you know, there are a lot of ways they're obviously getting around the things which I think the stuff they choose to focus on, and you know, the crowd scenes and the club scenes are really wonderful. I would love to have a slightly better sense of the city of Manchester during all of this, but I think that would have involved too much, like pulling the camera back almost too far.
Yeah.
It's really interesting and sort of intimate story about like creativity, but also the folly of, you know, sort of these, the weird, like, egomaniacal approach of Tony Wilson, and also that sort of idealistic approach that they have. So it and there is like you know, great sadness, obviously, within it too. But yeah, it's just a very, very fine film. And I first watched it when I watched it exactly the right age. I think I was 15, and it was just before I got into all that music.
Yeah, you were sort of slowly getting into all that stuff at that time. Your whole CD shelf was just filled with like all these bands from, like, you know, stuff I hadn't even, you know, heard of at that point, and I still listen to some of it today.
Yeah, I mean, it was, and I went to university in Manchester as well, so it was a sort of, it's a sound I'm very fond of, and one of my favourite gigs I've ever been to was when I saw New Order in 2005 with them, and they still had Peter Hook, which was wonderful. You and I went to see New Order once, which was great.
Yeah, we did. That was good. I enjoyed that concert.
But yeah, I mean, it really, the film really captures the beauty of the of the music, and uses it brilliantly. I imagine they spent most of their budget actually acquiring the rights to the songs.
Yeah, I think Almost Famous is one of those movies that has like the highest music budget. I think it's like $1.5 million is music.
Yeah, I mean, I think this makes a really interesting comparison with Almost Famous, where Almost Famous has to pick, even though Lester Bangs is a real character and a bunch of the other bands that are mentioned in the film is a real character, the central band is made up and the story has this very traditional kind of American arc to it. It's a good movie, it's a good film, but I think 24 Hour Party People is a much more original film and much better at capturing what it is that makes music, and that sort of alliance between music and sex and sort of drugs and nightlife and ego, like what drives that. I feel like Almost Famous only really scratches the surface. Like 24 Hour Party People has a way of delving into the good and the bad sides of like hedonism, for want of a better word.
Yeah. He's pretty fearless. Michael Winterbottom, he does go to some very like all of his films have some, even some of his other films, like have like a very political, like, aspect to it, that, you know, there's a point that he's trying to be made, like trying to make, you know, he's good at doing these kind of films like comedies, but he's also done like really harrowing like dramas like The Killer Inside Me or A Mighty Heart, and he also did a film about the fucking case that happened in Italy, the murder case that happened, that the Amanda Knox,
yeah,
he made a movie about that. So yeah, he doesn't shy away from like, he sort of goes for like controversy, but like not in a like kind of like a real sort of, you know, not in an Oliver Stone kind of way.
No, but exactly. I don't think he has like an axe to grind like that, but I think he has a sort of roving artistic eye, and I think it's interesting, as you say, yeah, what he chooses to work on. It doesn't have a coherent through line, you know. It's not like what I talked about last time I recommended the film with Howard Hawks, where he keeps making the same thing over and over again. I mean, I will say he has devoted a lot of his career to watching Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon bicker, and there's even a couple of scenes in 24 Hour Party People where Rob Brydon playing a journalist gets some choice back and forth with Steve Coogan,
which is always fun.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I mean, it's just a brilliant film, I think, and incredibly funny. And Coogan, like, because I think part of Alan Partridge, I think I heard this somewhere, was based on Tony Wilson, or at least the kind of Tony Wilson sort of informed that role. And so to have him come back and actually play the original part, it feels like no one else could have played Tony Wilson. Other than Steve Coogan, it's I think this is perhaps Steve Coogan's most iconic non Partridge role.
He's a very funny guy. I think he could do it. I think he's quite underrated. I mean he doesn't, I think he's a good actor.
Oh yeah, he's a brilliant actor. I mean, the Trip, if people haven't seen The Trip, the trip to Italy, or The Trip to Spain, the original in the UK, I mean, they're all so good.
They've done a new one. They've done a new one, Trip to Greece.
Oh, I want to see that.
Yeah,
that's also where we get our Al Pacino impression from, The Trip.
Come, Mr. Bond.
Yeah. anyway, so 24 Hour Party People, brilliant film, lots of fun. It'll make you want to listen to music and dance around like an idiot. So
yeah.
If for nothing else, that's why I recommend that.
Could I piggyback on this film and also recommend a film to you that's quite similar? Well, not similar, but it's set in that sort of world of 24-hour party people.
Sure.
It's the Ian Curtis movie, Control.
Oh, I haven't seen that. So there we go. So what we'll do is we'll have a watch party, the two of us, where we watch this and Control, and then we each will have seen the film the other person hasn't seen.
Basically. Yeah, Control.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah, Control is a great, great film. That got me into Joy Division.
Who, it's,
Oh, it's,
Who directed it again? It's that...
Anton Corbijn. Corbijn, or I think that's his name, Anton Corbijn. He did. I think that was his first movie. I think he's a photographer mainly, and then he did.
He's done music videos as well, I think.
Yeah, he's done a lot of Depeche Mode music videos, and then, he did Control. He did that in 2007, and then he did The American with George Clooney, where he plays an assassin in Italy, which is okay. And then the last film that he. No, he did another film. The other film that he did was one of Philip Seymour Hoffman's last movies, The Most Wanted Man, the John le Carré adaptation.
Oh, I've seen that.
Is there another film similar to 24-Hour Party People that you know of, apart from maybe Almost Famous? Like that style of film or anything like that?
It's not about a specific thing. For example, it's not about, like, it's not going back and looking at a specific time, but a film that has a similar kind of madcap sort of creative energy in it is All That Jazz, Bob Fosse's masterpiece, one of Bob Fosse's masterpieces.
That's a great film.
I think that I'm trying to think of other films that have this kind of like rock and roll thing. It's hard to translate rock and roll to the cinema screen. It really is. I'm sure I'll think of like a million things once I've hung up, but I can't think of something right now off the top of my head. But I imagine like the stuff that comes closest probably is like really good music documentaries, like, you know, and that's what this film has, almost a documentary feel. I mean, and it is shot sometimes like it's a over the shoulder sort of fly on the wall thing.
Bit mockumentary by the sound of it.
Yeah, well, of course, there's Spinal Tap. I mean,
oh yeah,
that's the benchmark. Oh, how do you see what I mean? Like, there's always something obvious you forget.
This one goes to 11.
Yeah. He had a model of Stonehenge that was in danger of being crushed by a dwarf.
That is a very funny movie.
Oh my god, it's funny. Okay, so I have to go watch that again. Yeah. But yeah, let's get out of here and tell people to go and, watch 24-Hour Party People and feel the love, man. I don't know.
Yeah, so that is Adam's recommendation. 24-Hour Party People, directed by Michael Winterbottom and starring Steve Coogan. So that concludes another episode of Holmes Movies Recommends. Do check back to see or hear what I will be recommending.
Bye-bye.